All right, so yes, Rob is my alter ego, and he doesn't know a thing about construction. In fact, you probably remember the first one that we did, I was out there with the construction workers, and they had fun with that. So they've been calling me Rob for the last couple of weeks, which is fun, but it's not my name. My name's Josh. So we've been in the middle of a series called Building a House of Prayer. And it is, like we learned the first week with Pastor Jeff, we're going through this thing in Matthew 6. And it's when the disciples said to Jesus, they said, "Hey, will you teach us how to pray?" And from the very get-go, he didn't say, "Hey, wait a little bit. Maybe when you're a little bit stronger in your faith, then I can teach you. You guys are pretty new Christians." No, he said right from the get-go, and I believe that there was a reason for that. I believe that God actually wanted this to be part of our entire lives, this prayer. So he explained to them how it is, and we're going to pick up right here in Matthew 6. It says, this is how you should pray. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." All right, now listen. Jesus was not just telling us this prayer, and you have to do this prayer only, okay? He wasn't saying, this is the prayer you do every time you pray. But it was a little different. It was like a model for us. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said it best when he said, "You know, I've seen a lot of people build model homes, model houses, but I've never seen somebody pack their bags and try to move into one." You see what I'm saying? In other words, Jesus is setting to us a model home so we can look at it and build our personal home of prayer based off of that model. So it's going to vary, and it's going to have different areas and aspects, but it's all going to have these core things. And first week, we talked about, we've been going through this room, these room by room right here. We talked about the family room, which was indeed the point where we're coming and we're saying the words, "Our Father who is in heaven." And Pastor Scott did a great job, didn't he? Explaining to us that he's our perfect father, and that when we go to pray, we are actually in the presence of a perfect dad. No matter if you had a father that wasn't perfect, he is perfect in every way, shape, and form. But this week, when Pastor Jeff is gone, I don't know if you guys knew that. Pastor Jeff is gone. He is not for good, just for a brief time. He's still alive. I got to be careful how I word that. But he is currently visiting his son Hans in Pennsylvania. And when this was given to me and assigned to me, I thought, oh, this is going to be really easy. Here's what I'm preaching on. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. And I've entitled what we're doing, The Praise Room. The Praise Room. Now, here's the deal. When we're looking at this and we're trying to figure this out, you know, you're saying four words. That's how I thought anyway. Hallowed be your name. We're good. Four words. This is going to be easy. It's only four words. But like 10 minutes into it, I realized that these four words are so incredibly deep. So incredibly deep that it's going to take some time to explain it. Not only do I think it's deep, but I think it's one of the most misunderstood phrases in the Bible, if I could say that. Especially in this prayer. Because sometimes we go, you know, we've recited it. Some of you have been saying this prayer your whole lives. And you've been saying that and you've been thinking, hallowed be your name. And you just kind of skip on to the other stuff. But I want to pause. I want to look at this moment, this part right here, hallowed be your name and what it means. I think even myself that, you know, over the last, I'm 30 years old, so over the last like 25 years of saying this, I don't know if I fully got what it meant. In fact, just recently things were discovered more out of these words than we had known in the past. So, what I liken it to, and this is kind of the moment of my whole sermon right here. This is what it can be summed up into. I believe that as Christians, we normally have an unlevel prayer life. I looked up unlevel. I don't even know if it's a real word, but it makes sense. An unlevel prayer life. Some things are not as they should be. You know, you look at the building outside, that thing is level, okay? That thing is not by Rob the Builder standards, where he's just looking at it, looks good, but it's actually level and it's been used by tools. There's this thing that in aviation that they teach you right off the get-go. It's called spatial disorientation. Anybody ever hear that? Any of you involved in that? Spatial disorientation is when a pilot can't decipher which way is up and which way is down. Now, some of you are thinking, well, why don't you just look out the window? Well, the problem with that is sometimes you're in really bad weather. And sometimes you're in the dark in really bad weather. You can't see the sky. You can't see the ground. So what happens in this thing, and the airplane will be moving along. And let's say somewhere along the lines, the pilot says, we need to take a right. I know we got to take a right. So he starts in this thing where he starts taking a right. He starts moving. Now, you can see me right now on that level. But his mind, because that scientists have shown, studies have been shown that we need visual cues to see where we're at. His mind will start playing tricks on him, and he will think that I have to turn some more. I have to turn some more. And what ends up happening is they actually go, they lose altitude, and they start going towards the ground and crash. In fact, it's one of the number one reasons for small aircraft deaths. John F. Kennedy Jr. there, that's why they believe he passed away, is because that the spatial disorientation was taking place. Now, I believe that when you're sitting, well, not only I believe, but I think God has given instruments for us, just like a pilot has instruments on an airplane to say, okay, I'm good, I'm not good, okay, I got to look, or a level. I think God has given us a level for our lives, and I believe it's right here in this prayer life. Right here, as we're building a house of prayer, I think these four words are what's going to keep us level. You follow me? All right, so he gave us these four words, hallowed be your name, in a way to keep us in check, in a way to keep us level. Now, I think a lot of us struggle with these things because we don't fully understand all the words in hallowed be your name. I want to start out with name, and we talked about that, and Pastor Scott gave a great illustration there with Solomon's temple and the name. But I want to dive into it a little bit more. What is his name? What's his name? What is that all about? Is it just me saying his name? What is that? How does that work? See, nowadays, a name to us doesn't really mean a lot of things. It doesn't, you know what I'm saying, though. It's not like we're not saying, oh, I wonder what that, well, let me give you an example. When I named our first daughter, when Jess and I had our first daughter, Adeline, she's 3 years old, we liked the name Madeline, but then there's other girls here named Madeline. Madison and blah, blah, blah. We didn't want a bunch of Maddies running around. So we came up with dropping the M and having Adeline. It sounded cool. We didn't think about what it meant. We didn't think anything about that. We just thought Adeline sounded awesome, and it was the name that we stuck with. Well, it means noble. That's what I found out later, which is nice, right? Noble. So when Audrey was born, she's only 3 months. When she was born and we came up with the name Audrey, it's because we love Audrey Hediger, we like the name, but there was a lot of different reasons for that, but I didn't think about what it meant. I didn't even look it up until after she was born. And do you know what it means? Noble. So I got two girls named Noble, which is pretty cool. But I think we don't really put a lot of thought, and nowadays anyway, and as a way to explain this, I thought we would go over some funny and bizarre names that I found on the internet, and I thought that I would share them with you. Can I do that this morning? All right, this first one, this guy is from Singapore, and his parents thought apparently it would be a good name. His last name is Superman. Superman. His first name is Batman. Batman bin Superman. He was born in 1990 in Singapore. I don't know if that was on accident. I don't know if they paid attention to what that meant, but that was his name. This next one, he's a right winger for the Idaho Steelheads hockey team. But nobody's going to think about that because his name is Bear Trap. Bear Trap. Nobody's going to even care what he does for a living. We just like your name. The next one, I think, I don't know if this is on purpose or on accident, but some of your relatives might find this... this might be their best friend. His name is Bud Light. Can't make this up, folks. Now, this next guy is a technical score advisor, but who really cares, because his name is Chris P. Bacon. You know, if that was me, I would, like, just drop the middle initial. Crispy Bacon, I don't want to be that guy. This guy was destined for the spotlight from the day he began. Unfortunately, it's either in a cartoon or in 11 p.m. news. It's Donald Duck. You know, honey, I really like the name Donald. Yeah, me too. Our last name's Duck. Maybe we shouldn't do that. No. Now, not all these are bad. This one apparently was for the good. Maybe they spoke this into her life. She became a lawyer. Her name is, I got a different one on here. This one's different. This is Filet Mignon. Filet Mignon. Her last name is Mignon. Her parents apparently like steak, and that's what she became. But look at this one right here. Tara Dactyl. If you can see that. Tara Dactyl. They watched a little bit too much Jurassic Park. I love this guy. Jedi Knight. Jedi Knight. Wow. Hey, Knights, have you ever thought about naming one of your kids Jed? It's too bad. Now meet Dr. Hurt. Listen, Dr. Hurt is not only a doctor, but he is a dentist, and his first name's Ken. Dr. Ken Hurt. I can't make these up. I guess I lost one of them, but there was a girl that was in the mist. Her name was Sue Yu, and she was a lawyer. So, see, nowadays, we don't put a lot of thought into what the names mean. We don't put a ton of thought into that. We just think they kind of sound cool. Let's go with that Donald Duck. That sounds like a great name to name our kid. Bear Trap, whatever. Adeline, Audrey. But back in those days, the names meant something. Like, they meant something. They didn't care about how it sounded, like Nimrod and Dorcas. You know, those are names in the Bible. They just cared about what they meant. Now, if you remember when Jesus met Simon, changed his name, Peter, meaning the rock, which was, that's the rock. There was a rock before the rock, you know, the rock. But that meant something, that he's going to be the rock. He's going to be the church. See, names were incredibly important. And we can learn a lot about God by just looking at the Old Testament and seeing how he referred to himself. Now, I look at it like this. You know, we have a picture with me like an iceberg that's underwater, and you can only see a portion of it, okay? Because God has only revealed so much, because we can't handle it all, okay, of all who he is. But here's what he says about himself. And the first time was in Exodus 3. God said to Moses, he said, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you. The fundamental thing that we see and that can be said about God is that he is. I am who I am. And the most staggering thing of our imagination is that he never had a beginning. He simply is from all of eternity. Never had a beginning. Never will have an end. Time is completely his creation. That should make you, when you say the name of God, he has no beginning. He was not created. There is no time in his world. That's enough to give you shivers up your spine. The next thing that God said, this came in Exodus 33. He says, God said to Moses again, I will proclaim before you my name. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious to, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. See, at the heart of God's name is the reality of his sovereign freedom. He's free to do whatever he wants. You may think that you're free. I know some of you are like, I'm in America. I'm free. No, you're not. You think you're free. Try to speed home. Yeah. Try speed home. Try to eat everything you want to eat. I'm telling you, folks, you're not free to do whatever you want. We have limitations, okay? We have laws. We have things set in place that keep us in check. We have no freedom like God has freedom. He has never had a beginning. He won't have an end. He wasn't created, and he can do whatever he pleases. We have limitations from our physical bodies. You know, I can't fly. I'd love to fly. I used to have dreams of flying around like a bird, but I can't fly. Okay? I can't even jump. You know what I'm saying? We do that sometimes in youth group, like, who can touch this? And it's like 3 feet off the ground, and I'm having a difficulty, you know, touching that. I got T-Rex arms, okay? My parents should have named me Pterodactyl Whippy. The next thing we see is, again, God has said to Moses in Exodus 6:3, I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as right here, God Almighty. So not only does he have incredible, he's never been created, he created time, he has all the freedom in the world, but he's the most powerful being of the universe. He is almighty. So that's kind of scary to some of you, right? I don't know if I want to trust somebody who's got all the power and could do whatever he wants. But here's where it gets good. Because right here, he says, when God came down a second time to Mount Sinai, the first thing he did was declare his name. The Lord, his name. Do you hear it? His name. It's not just syllables. It's not just a couple of letters put together to make a word. It means something. A God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping a steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. So we learn from Mount Sinai that the existence, the freedom, the omnipotence of God stand in service to his mercy and his love. Do you get that? When you say the name of God, you are saying much more than just God. You are saying so much more when you say the name, hallowed be your name. You are speaking of all that he is, not just his name. The name of God has so much within that that we can't even fathom who he is. But all when we say that, we know the Lord is my provider. The Lord is my defender. The Lord is my healer. When you say the name of God, that is what you're calling upon. So the next question is, what the heck does hallowed mean? Right? Come on. None of you guys use that word in a daily basis. And if you do in casual conversation, I want to see how that works. I mean, I dare you. I dare you to go to the gym tomorrow. If you go to the gym, it'd be like, what's up, man? Pretty Hollywood, bro. We don't use that word anymore. That's why we kind of skip over it when we're reading it. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will. You know what I'm saying? We're just kind of skipping over it because we don't know what it means. But here's the deal. I looked through all these translations, all the new ones. Hollywood's still in there. You would think, you know, with all the, you know, we got the King James, which we, you know, this church anyway, we're like, not that there's anything wrong with it, but we like something that's a little bit more relevant to where we're at. Hollywood's still in the NIV. I'm like, what is about this word that is so good that I can't even find another alternative? Because I believe that it's so incredibly vast, this word, hallowed. It's so incredibly deep that if we were to explain it all like I'm going to today, that it would just take up this whole thing. This prayer would be super long. So what does it mean? I think if we can look at two different things that are happening when we say this phrase, hallowed be your name. The first one is we're praising God. Now, this has been the understanding for centuries, that we're just praising God. And if I was going to break down this word hallowed, which again is incredibly complex, and I'm going to break down the first part when we get to the second part, I'll break that down too. The word hallow means sanctify. It's the same in the Greek, and it stands behind both English words. Jesus tells us to pray, let your name be sanctified. Sanctify can mean make holy or treat us holy, because, you know, God sanctifies us. He makes it, we're wretched and he makes us holy. But this can be confusing because he's already holy. Now, we're not telling him, we're not making him holy. We are declaring he's holy. We are setting him apart and saying, you are holy. You are perfect. You are awesome. Now, what I want to tell you today is that is not an opinion. Like our culture tells us. You know, you'll talk about God, I just love God, man, he's so awesome. And somebody will be like, oh yeah, that's good for you. No, 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 no. It's good for all of us, okay? See, if I had, let's see, Nate. Nate, come on up here. Will you come up here? He's taking notes on his phone. Come on up. Everybody give it up for Nate. Now, if we were hanging out and I dropped, there's $20 on the ground. And Nate was to pick it up, or let's, yeah. And he's starting to throw this thing out. He's throwing this sucker out. Give me that, you're done. If you have a friend and they're trying to throw out $20, right? Oh, it's just garbage. It's just paper, Nate says. No, this thing has value. This thing, it's not opinion. This thing has value. You are trying to plead with them to realize that's how God is. He has value. His name is great. And when we say Hollywood, we are praising his name. We're setting him apart like we are with this. It's not just a piece of paper. This thing can buy you stuff. You can get stuff like candy. Or cake. Or I don't know what $20 gas in your car. This thing has value. See, the most important thing we're doing here is we're praising his name. We're praising his name because it focuses us on the most important thing, which is him. Now, I want you to realize that this is happening before we're asking for anything. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. This is happening before you even confess your sins. Think about how incredibly important this is, that we're lifting up his name before anything. It says in Psalm 104, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name and praise his name." We are walking in, when we come into prayer, when you're walking into your prayer, you are walking in giving praise to his name. You are walking in thanking him, giving praise to his name. You're not walking in with your head down. "God, I really screwed up." Because that's how we do it, isn't it? Always starts out with "I." "God, I really screwed up." See, Jesus is laying the blueprint for prayer for all of us. And he's giving us this ability to look and level ourselves out. Because like I said, it always starts with "I." Do you guys remember when you were in grade school? I know it was a long time for some of you. And they taught you this phrase. They taught you this phrase, "I before E, except after
C."
Yeah, you know it. See? Some of you. "I before E, except after C." But here, we have Jesus teaching us, "Thy before I." "Thy before I." Isn't it funny how most of the things that ail us, most of the things that are our biggest issues in life, are often because we are so focused on ourselves? I mean, occasionally my wife and I will have arguments, and I'm gonna, because that happens in marriage, and I can tell you most of the time that we have fights can usually be traced back to me thinking about myself. Me thinking, "I don't like the way she said that." You know, she'll say, "Oh, you know, you might want to not eat that today." "Why are you saying that?" You know, it's always about me. It's about me wanting to get my way, wanting to be treated a certain direction. Or let's say my children, which, you know, how much frustration could really come out of a 3-year-old? You know, I mean, how can I get frustrated at a 3-year-old? But can I be real with you? I get frustrated because I'm thinking about me. You know, she's jumping all over me, you know, trying to lick me, bite me, you know, like just being in my business all the time, which is crazy. I just wish you could retire, have kids, and then go to work when they're all grown up. You know what I mean? I'm sure some of you feel that way. But it's like a full-time job. But most of the time, it's because I'm frustrated. I mean, I get frustrated with the 3-month-old, with Audrey. It's like, "Why are you crying? Stop crying. Will you stop crying, please? For the love of God, I'm trying to sleep." It's all about me. It's all about me. Or maybe you have the same thing when you get upset with a friend or you're upset at work, and it's always about me, 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 me. So, you know, Jesus is asking us, not to ask him for things right away. Now, don't get me wrong. He's saying, come to me with your burdens. But before you do that, praise my name. So it will level you. It will level your prayer life to stop thinking about yourself all the time. See, one of the things, if you guys know Larry King, somebody asked him, how did you get all your success? Like, what made you so successful? He said, well, you know, I like to make people feel at ease. And I want to know everything that somebody has to say. I love listening to people. And most importantly, I never use the word I. Well, we know what he was trying to say, right? But isn't it impossible to go through this life without using the word I sometimes? Sometimes it feels like that. And Jesus lived in our shoes. He knows what we're going through. So why do you think it was an accident that he said, will you do thy before I? Will you praise my name before you even think about yourself? Because it focuses us. It gets us in the right place in the state of mind. And it's helping us not be selfish. It's like Rob the Builder. You know, he's sitting there. Hey, it looks pretty level to me, because in our world, you know, judging by our eyes, we think that our prayer life is good. No, it looks pretty good. But if we were going to measure that up to what God thinks and the blueprint that he's laid out, I think it's a different story. See, before you ask for anything, even that his kingdom will come, hallow my name, he says. Make my holy name above all other things, because his name is everything he is. Like I said, he's our provider. He's our helper. He's our defender. He's our king. His name is everything. And when we start out praising his name to remind us, it's not to tell God, oh, thanks for telling me, I forgot who I was. When we praise his name, it's because we are reminding ourselves of who he is. When we're saying, hallowed be your name, it is telling us of how great and amazing that he is and how we are nothing without him. This is the missing link sometimes to our prayer life, because the first thing we start out with is ourselves. Maybe we need to start praising his name first when we go into prayer. I challenge you to try that this week. I'm telling you, it changes things. Now, the second thing that's going on, and this has just been discovered over the last couple, maybe 20 years or something, I don't know. But it's pretty new, because most people just thought hallowed was about praise. And here's what we're doing. I want you to notice and look that Jesus is asking us, when we say hallowed be your name, Jesus is asking us to ask God to hallow his own name. Let me say it again. Jesus is asking us to ask God to hallow his own name. So it's kind of strange. We're asking God to hallow his own name. What does that mean? What does that mean? Some of you are like, I thought it was just about praise. But let me put it this way. If we were to take holiness and make it a verb, okay? Make holiness a verb. We are asking God to separate himself and make his name known among all the world. Do you get it? You're catching it. First point is we're praising his name. Now, this is the other meaning, that we are asking him to make his name known above all things. It's like we're asking God, if I could say it this way, to spread his fame. You see what I'm going at? You see, are you with me? I'll do what Jeff does. They're not with me, Lord. They're not getting it. Jesus is asking us, okay, let me put it this way. We can see it in a couple different examples. It's not based on you. It's him, okay? Ezekiel 36 in the prophets is one of my favorite ones. Right here, before I even tell you what's going on, God is in the middle of a conflict with the people of Israel. The people of Israel they've been spreading his name, but now they're acting in a way and they're kind of defiling his name. And to be honest with you, they deserve to be wiped off the face of the planet. I mean, it's so bad. It's so bad. They deserve wrath. But here, look at how he responds. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. Do you see that? The nation deserves the worst. But right here, God is going to completely the opposite direction. Instead of giving them what they deserve, he's giving them mercy, and he's going to deliver them from slavery. Now, here's what's going on. God is saying, I'm not doing this because of what you've done. I am doing this for the sake of my holy name. That is the natural outflow of who God is. That he's doing not based, this should be incredibly meaningful for you. Because no longer, if it was based on Josh Whippy, I'm telling you, I fail on a daily basis. On a daily basis. And if it was based on my good works, it was based on my sin, I'd be dead a long time ago. And maybe some of you are feeling the same way. It's like, God, how could you use me? How could you do those things? He's like, I'm not doing it because of anything you did. I'm doing it because of who I am. See, God goes beyond me. He goes beyond us, and it's hinged on his name. It should be incredibly, incredibly encouraging for us. His faithfulness is not merited by my faithfulness, nor is it derailed from my failures. I want to say that again. His faithfulness is not contingent on your faithfulness, nor is it derailed by your failures. He is faithful because that's who his name is. So what's going on is Jesus is saying this. He's asking us to pray like this. We're asking God, would you make your reputation spread, your fame? Would you make your name known and that you would be worshipped as a result? That's what we're praying when we're saying, hallowed be your name. Would you make your reputation, your fame spread among the earth? Would you make your name known so that you will be worshipped as a result? That is what hallowed is. It's making our brains and focusing off of ourselves onto him and saying, God, I want your name to be spread along this whole earth. Can you imagine what that would be like if this church, if we started praying this in our prayer life? Can you imagine what would happen to the Tri-County area if we start proclaiming that he would make his fame known in this area? We're asking God, I'm putting you on the spotlight. I'm putting you on the platform because no one compares to you. I'm telling you, crazy things would happen. But I think the biggest question is we're asking is why? I'm sure most of us in this room, and maybe it's just me, but we struggle with hallowing our own name. We struggle so much with trying to make our needs met. And maybe you're here today and you're like, you know what? Listen, man, I love God. He is my treasure. I really do love him. But I'm struggling with paying my mortgage. I'm struggling with my job. I can't even imagine how I could put anything first except for myself. And I think a lot of us sometimes are just like, you know what? I like therapy, Jesus. I like just kind of basking and giving him all my problems and he helps me and blah, blah, blah. And I like that feeling. I like coming home and knowing that he's going to make me feel good. I truly love him, but I got to take care of my situation now. And I think at the heart of it all is where our culture's at today. And it's that I want to feel better. Isn't that right? Look at the world. Look at everybody we're around. I just want to feel better. Can I say there are enough things in this world to help us feel better? Okay, we've tried that. This world has tons of things. You can go anywhere you want to feel better. That's why, you know, there's that famous saying, you know, I need a drink. Why? Because they're trying to make themselves feel better. I just need a hobby so I can make myself feel better. There's so much thing in the world that can offer us. I mean, the consumerist mindset that we have in America is all about making us feel better. But can I say that God isn't interested in making you feel better. He's interested in making you feel whole. He's not interested in making you feel better. He's interested in making you whole. This world needs and is desperate for a Savior to step into place with those holes that are all inside their hearts that are saying, I need to feel better. I need to feel better. No, I'm going to make you feel whole. I'm going to fill those holes and make you feel whole. That is what we are praying. That is why we are doing this. That's why we're asking God to make his name hallowed. And there's some things, and I'm going to finish with this, okay? This is simple. It's like a machine gun. I'm giving it all to you. I'm going to finish with this because here's the thing. We have a sickness of self-love, but I believe when we pray this prayer, when we put him first and we hallow his holy name, things happen. Number one, you will become less self-absorbed. That's our whole culture. Look at it. It's all our whole culture. It's self-absorbed. It's all about me. I think Jesus was the perfect example of what it can look like if we have God in prayer at the center of our lives and we're giving him all the praise and honor and we're not thinking about what we need first, we're thinking about what he needs first. Jesus was the perfect example. He truly wanted to bring honor to God's name, to Father's name, to his name, so much that he laid down his life for all of us. The most selfless thing anyone could ever do, he did for all of us. If it was up to us, it would be like, well, that doesn't make me feel good. I don't want to die on a cross for everybody. It doesn't make me feel good. But Jesus knew so much that his name is glorified among all else, that he laid this blueprint for us so we can look at and say, God, isn't that the goal? We're trying to be more like Jesus. Isn't that the goal? Right here, we can see it. He did not care about his own ways. He cared about hallowing the name of God. He was 100% man, 100% God. He walked in our shoes, folks. He knows what we go through. This is why he's giving us this blueprint. Number two, you will see a reflection of God's holiness in your life. Now listen, when we start praying this, and I just encourage you to start praying this in your daily life, hallowed be your name. You will start to look at yourself in a way it's like, am I reflecting his holiness? Am I giving praise to his name? Is what I'm doing a great reflection of who God is? Your mind will start, and listen, this is not in a condemnation way where, you know, there's this big, you know, there's a really big holiness movement in the church, and sometimes if it's not kept in check, it can be like, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you can't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not what I'm talking about. This is not based on guilt or shame or pointing the finger at anybody else. It's looking at yourself because you are so deep into the Spirit. You're so deep in your prayer life that you are so focused on giving him praise that you start to look at yourself and go, well, I got to change some stuff. There's some changes that need to be made so that I can be a proclaimer of his name, so that I can give praise to the one and only King. There's this thing that naturally happens that we start to look at ourselves and go, well, I can give you an example. I mean, think about when you first got saved and where you are today. The things you did before you met Jesus and the things you are doing now, it's like, wow, I let go of a lot of stuff, right? Hopefully, I think that's where we're all trying to go, is you look, and it's not because somebody was like, you're the devil, you shouldn't be doing that. It's because you're starting to realize that you are a carrier of his presence. You're starting to realize that your job is to make his name known. The next thing, and I think this is just a very natural progression that you're seeing here, is that you will notice that you will be reshaped by God's holiness. Something happens at the center of our lives that not only do we notice these things, because it's one thing to notice it, isn't it? It's like, I got a little bit of a weight problem. Just a little bit. You know, the bear claw gets lodged in here, and then I just gain weight. That's one way to look at it. But the other way is when God starts to change us, the transformation. Was that brought up today? I think that word was given. Was that you that gave that today? That we be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Transformed. And that is coming because God's holiness is reshaping you. See, when you sanctify and you give holiness to his name, when you say, hallowed be your name, he is actually making you holy. Do you get that? We're not holy, but he's making us holy because of who he is, because of his name. It's a natural progression that's happening, is because we are so in love with God that we want to be like him. And he starts changing this. It's very natural. It's healthy. It's in his time. It's an amazing and beautiful thing. And this is the final thing. And this is where it all comes down. That you will be a proclaimer of his fame. It's one thing to ask him to do it. And there are sects of Christianity that believe that God just does it. And we don't play a part. I'm telling you, you play a part. You play a part. You are on the team, so to speak. And when we are asking God to hallow his name, we are also asking, God, will you use me to be a proclaimer of your fame? Will you use me to speak to my friends? Will you use me to speak to the people in my life? Lord, I need you to help me to do that. I want, my ultimate goal is to make you holy. My ultimate goal is to make you known. Again, let's go back to what I said earlier, where he said, there's certain things that he's doing here that he's asking us. We're asking that he would make his reputation spread. We're asking that he would make his name known and that he would be worshiped as a result. Listen, this is what our world needs, and you could be the missing link. If we just start looking at this word, hallowed be your name, hallowed be your holy name, God, would you make your name known among all the earth? Lord, would you be worshiped as a result? Let's pray. Can we do that? Father, you are holy. You are great. You are awesome. You are perfect. You are a provider, our healer. Lord, you are all the things that we are not. All the things that we long for, God, you are. Lord, hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name, Father. In this area, we proclaim today, Lord, that you would make your name known in this area, Lord. Use us, God, to make your name known. We ask, God, that you would proclaim it through all the world, that eyes would be opened. Lord, that that broken lives would be made new. Lord, we ask for the wholeness to be brought forth because of you as our Savior that died on a cross for all of us and all of the people that don't even know you yet. God, we ask that your name would be brought to them. Lord, would you use us to do that? Lord, we're sorry for having unlevel prayer lives. That the first thing we do is we go into the praise room of me. The first thing we do when we go into prayer, Lord, we're sorry. We apologize. God, we're sorry. We've made this thing about us. It's not about us. It's all about you. It's all about you. Lord, forgive us for having a selfishness about us when we come into prayer, where it's all about me, all about my needs. We know you care about those things, but God, we want to set the record straight today. We want to start in a world of prayer and start in a moment of prayer every single day that we wake up praising your name and asking that your name be hallowed. I'm just going to ask, if that's you today and you're just wanting to make a declaration before the Lord and say, you know, in ways to say, God, I want to make the record clean. I want to start off fresh. I want to start a new prayer life. I'm just going to ask that you stand to your feet. And God, would you, every single person that's ready to stand, Lord, I ask right now that you would bless them. Lord, not because they deserve it, not because of anything they've done, but because of your name. Lord, I ask that when we say these things, when we say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, that it wouldn't just be us saying, oh God, his name, but it would be brought so much meaning to the depths of our souls of how perfect you are, of how you have no beginning, how you have complete freedom, how you have absolute almighty power, and how you're wrapped in love. Lord, let us not take your name for granted. There's too much of this world, Lord, that is saying your name and taking your name in vain and saying it like it's nothing. But God, we know that there is power in your name. We know there is power to change in your name. And when we ask for your name to be hallowed, when we ask for your faith, your fame to be proclaimed, that's what we're asking today, God. Lord, we lift up those people in our lives that we know they need you. We know they need you. And we're asking, God, would you use us to be a proclaimer of your fame? Would you use us, God, to speak to those depths, to speak to those areas? Lord, we want above all else for your name to be hallowed. For your name to be hallowed. Let your name set the captives free. Let your name bring peace to this planet, Lord. We can't do it by ourselves. It's not based on us. It's based on you. Lord, sorry for making this all about us. We're sorry, Father, and we just want to lift it up to you. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just, I think it's a great thing if we end with praising his name. Can we just give him a clap offering? You are great, Lord. You are holy. You are awesome, Father. There's none above you, Lord. None above you. All right, well, God bless you as you go. Make sure when you're coming out of the parking lot there, you're careful. I do want to make a quick announcement that there are going to be some changes over the next couple of weeks that are happening back here. So please, we're going to have guys out there directing you. The spaces are going to be gone. Also, we have prophetic, if you're looking for a word from the Lord today, we have prophecy up here, prophetic words that you can get right up here in front of the subwoofer.